97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This is a good holiday. It's a noble holiday. But of course, here's Joe Biden and his folks who can't resist calling Donald Trump and Republicans racist. Really, Joe? You can't even let up today on what should be a unifying holiday. So I'm going to tell you, you asked for this. First of all, there isn't a racist bone in Donald Trump's body. Second, it was the Abraham Lincoln and then Ulysses S. Grant Republican Party that was the party of the emancipation of the slaves.
Juneteenth yesterday, you may have noticed we were not here because it's a federal holiday. And our company, Odyssey, I think is this the first year that it was recognized by?
This is first year, yep.
Mm-hmm. So this is the first year that our company, Odyssey, recognized Juneteenth as a day off for everybody. Grateful that they did. Juneteenth is such a mess, like politically, socially, because nobody knows what to do with it.
Exactly right. And I don't know about you, but whenever, and this was yesterday, I kept thinking, oh, it's Juneteenth. You know, we had the day off. But a lot of people have that day off now all of a sudden, I think, because of the federal holiday. All I can think about when I think about it is Chuck Schumer kneeling. That's the only thing I think about when they talk about the holiday, because that is burned into my brain from when they basically started promoting it.
I haven't thought of that for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't feel like people get it. I don't feel like people understand Juneteenth on both sides of the aisle. I have seen and heard with my own ears, my own eyes, people on the right dismissing Juneteenth as, you know, the Juneteenth and DEI are often talked about in the same conversation. And, you know, I'm somebody who's of the mind, like, in the DEI world that we currently live in, the diversity, equity, and inclusion world that we live in, It's kind of rich to see how many companies really, really push and invest huge portions of their annual budget into DEI practices, DEI training, all of this type of stuff, and don't give their employees the day off. That seems like a major conflict. Mm-hmm. But the idea that Juneteenth is an important day, who out there disagrees with that? Some of you listening might. But I've seen it from both sides of the aisle, people getting all hot and bothered over Juneteenth, whether people are off that day, whether certain people get to take that day off. Listen, folks, Juneteenth is not Black People Independence Day. That's not what Juneteenth is. Juneteenth is a celebration of the acknowledgement that the last slaves who were freed were made aware of it. And it took way too freaking long for that to actually happen. It is another piece of evidence that our country identified that what had been one of the most common practices in all of human history, which is the powerful enslaving the less powerful. Not here. Not now. There is an entire misunderstanding in our country that has been invested in, has been amplified when it comes to our checkered past and slavery. There are people who want to forget that slavery ever happened. There are people in this country who want to move past it and pretend like slavery never even existed. Like, we don't have slaves now. Why do we need to talk about this? Slavery doesn't exist. I didn't enslave you. You weren't enslaved by me. This isn't our problem. I think that's problematic that we want to forget that it ever happened. But there is a whole contingent of people who want to forget that the Civil War happened and that we freed the slaves. We killed ourselves over it. Brother fought against brother because there was something more important in this country, that the societal way, the economic way that was imported to our country from all of the rest of the world that participated in some form, if not a worse form than was in the United States, imported to this country. Enslavement happened, the economy boomed, and we still said no, no more. I'm working hard to refrain from the political notes that exist throughout this conversation, because it is important to understand that Americans decided no more slavery. That is something to be amplified and celebrated by Republicans, by Democrats, by people who live in New England, that people who live in the Deep South, that we can come together and say, Americans decided no more slavery. Good one. This doesn't happen in the rest of the world the way it happens in the United States. It's very unbelievable to think about those who want to forget what our country was willing to put our own selves through to end the darkest sin that exists upon our country. And I compare that to the people who, you know, I don't, if there's a political affiliation to it, I'm kind of unaware of it because I don't think that racism has a party. But the people who want to act like slavery is not a part of our history. You can't acknowledge the righting of a wrong without acknowledging that the wrong existed. And it had consequences. There were consequences in this country due to the fact that we enslaved people, predominantly based on skin color, but not only based on skin color. If you were black, you weren't immediately a slave. And if you were white, you weren't immediately not a slave. Those are the facts of the situation. There was certainly a propensity with one or the other, but your skin color alone did not dictate that you were or were not a slave. We have to rationalize ourselves and pull ourselves away from that constant political pull that is always an investment on some political power, both sides, where there is a contingent that says, This is what I need from them. This is the emotion I need to instill in them and evoke from them, because I think that I can play on their emotions more than I can play on their brain cells. Which reminds me, Ryan, you missed the best phone call we've ever taken on this show on Tuesday.
Oh, no,
yeah,
really?
You did.
Yes. Oh. It involved biscuits.
Oh, I think I may have heard a little bit about this.
I almost want to play it back for you.
Yeah, because I haven't heard it.
Going back to my point about playing more on people's emotions and not their senses. What was her name? Emily?
Emily, yeah.
She was high on something. Mm-hmm. Had to have been. Mm. The idea that emotions can, that if you can tap into somebody's emotions, you can control them easier than if you like explain it to them. If I become impassioned, perfect example. Ryan, have you ever done something completely out of like consuming emotion as a parent?
Yes.
That you would not have rationally done had you sat down and said, someone like fans out the papers in the desk in front of you. Okay, so here's what I would like to have you do. Here's point A, B, C, and D, and E, and F. And this is going to make you, after you've read through these points, go lose your mind on person A.
Yes. Usually it involves the number of things and rituals that the kids need to go through before bedtime.
Well, you're saying this is directly to your kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Like your irrational behavior.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
As a parent, generally is out of emotion.
Yes.
Not out of thought process, analytics, and sensibility.
Yes.
If somebody wants to really get under my skin and cause me to act irrationally, do something to my kids. It's happened before. It is not something I'm particularly proud of. But it's also something that there is a real self-aware sense that should that same situation happen a second time, I'm not so sure I would act differently the second time. My daughter's listening right now and she knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's the same thing with voting. It's the same thing with voters. If people who can politically persuade you into something can make you feel rage, or to make you feel euphoric about Hillary Clinton, of all people, then you can see how people will become impassioned to go on some crusade, whether it's, you know, marching in the street, burning down a building. And people will act irrationally because they are so emotionally over-invested emotion over sensibility and, you know, thinking analytically, you can evoke something out of a person with that. The whole slavery question in our country is rarely used to make an analytical, objective point about where we were and where we are, that people don't traditionally have a conversation surrounding the topic of slavery without emotion very quickly taking over strongly. And it makes people feel like they should be on the offensive or on the defensive immediately. This topic comes up, you go to your corners and you sit there and you get ready to fight, which is ironic that we're talking about something that we had to kill each other over to end, because ultimately at the core of our national sensibility, we knew better and we were willing to commit to it to the death. I've read a lot of comments in the last 24 hours on social media commemorating Juneteenth, with people in the comment section saying it's so hard to believe that we're actually not that far removed from a time where our ancestors were enslaved. And that's usually, I think all, and I'm going to say this too, like there are probably people listening who made those comments and who maybe have been in my feed. Listen, I respect that sentiment. Those sentiments are made out of the best of intentions. When people look to support other people who might have posted something about that, it is in a well-intended nature 90%+ of the time. But what I think is missed when the point is made that it's, you know, the idea is, you know, Ryan, it wasn't that long that we did this. And people will say, yeah, it's unbelievable that my grandpa's father, great-grandpa's father, saw this with his own eyes. Shouldn't it also be noted that in that same sentiment, it is important to remember how close we were to a point in time where this happened? Shouldn't it also be jaw-droppingly impressive that it's hard to imagine today that that existed? The distance from point A to point B is indicative of how much progress we've actually made. That it is unbelievable and reprehensible to think about what existed in our country in a time where you can retrace the names of the people who in your family saw this as a true existence. I mean, I live in Illinois. I came over to Missouri. That traveling, huge difference in where those states were and what those states meant. Google the Missouri Compromise. Understand where the Mason-Dixon line lies. And know that when you drive from Illinois to Gulf Shores, you're going through a significant amount of history in that distance where your American brothers and sisters, like you get out at a couple gas stations, hugely different existences for the people who lived in those places. And yeah, it was not that long ago. But in the same sense that we want to say, rip ourselves back mentally to that time that was not that far ago when slavery was the function of our society, that it's also, it didn't take us that long to go, hell no, and never again. Like, that's where we are right now. And Juneteenth is a reminder that even when we won, when the good guys won, and the Americans decided that we were willing to potentially lose our country over fighting to end slavery, which was one of, if not the greatest asset to an economic boom in this country, we said it's not valuable enough to maintain this form of labor, slave labor, in our country. We cannot do this to the humans that coexist with us because of the economic benefit. We can't do it. It has to stop. And we stopped it. And even at that, the moment it stopped, all blacks weren't immediately free. It took, what was it, years before it reached June 19th in Texas?
Years.
For them to know that they were free men and women. Free! Finally in America, they were free. That's an emphatic punctuation on the end of a terrible sentence that black Americans lived in this country and we together fought to end it. That's to be celebrated. And the distance that exists from that time in our American history, which wasn't really that long ago till now, shows how much progress can be made when we commit to doing what is right. And there's a lot of drama that goes along with it. There's a lot of politics that goes along with it. Of course, naturally. But you can choose to look at Juneteenth however you want. You can choose to see Juneteenth and whichever side of the issue you're on. You can choose to say, and I've seen these actual arguments being made in my own timelines, that Juneteenth isn't a holiday to be recognized at all, and it's just a DEI practice that's being forced down our throats. I think that's wrong. I've seen Juneteenth is a joke on the other side because it's the least that the white people think that they can do to make black people stop asking for reparations, and we shouldn't fall for this. I've seen it. I've seen comments about how white people shouldn't be able to take Juneteenth off and only black people should. All of these things are looking to rip us apart from one another, to divide one another, which is the exact opposite of what Juneteenth, a historical day in American history that should be acknowledged, should be understood, and should be celebrated because it was the day we were finally all understood to be equal. That's the message. And you get to choose how you want to look at it. You get to choose if you want to be angry about it. But you don't have to be angry about it. And know if you are being angry about it, you've chosen that way. I would ask yourself why you've chosen to be angry over it. Whether you had the day off or didn't have the day off, whatever, understand the value of the holiday. Understand the value of the historical importance of that day. And understand that we live in a country that, against all odds, against all historical appointment, against all economic sense, still said, it's not right. It must end. We will die for it. And the good thing won. And it should be celebrated. All right. What's next, Ryan Wiggins, on the Annie Fry? She's going to kill you. Trisha is going to have you. Have your neck.
Oh, you interpreted that as Trisha. Oh. No, see, I was just talking about how I was very full. So that's on you.
I was sitting here thinking about teeing something up, and I'm like, oh, Annie, are you okay? I'm not going to screw this up. Because last week, Ryan was emphatically signifying large pregnant lady coming into the studio. And I think that Trisha looks absolutely gorgeous.
See, now you're implying Beautiful. That I don't. That's the problem.
She does.
Yes, agreed.
Clearly. And any woman who is, she's got to be like 36 weeks pregnant.
I have no idea. Don't know how that works.
I will not explain it to you. Storks, blessings from God.
That's as far as I've ever gotten.
She looks beautiful, and I'm going to say this. She didn't ask me to say this, nor would she. But she does have to work with Ryan Wiggins. Come onto the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell Trisha how beautiful she looks, because every pregnant woman needs to hear that, and she does look beautiful. And Ryan will probably say something off-air offensive here in a minute. Help him out.
Well, that's probably true, yes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us Thursday today, and we're glad that you are here. The YouTube live chat poll, would you like to see RFK Jr. at the CNN debate? Yes or no? They announced today that he has not made the cut, and your votes here suggest that you're pretty split on it, so I'd love to hear what you think. So make sure you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We will star some of those comments as they come in, if you so choose, and read some of those when we give you the results at the end of the show. All right, Trish is here.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Annie, you okay? You okay, Annie? Brian?
You are glowing like Moses came down from the mountain.
Are you saying she's sweaty?
I'm saying that you know how people were looking for a leader? You're that right now.
A sweaty one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People, you know, if somebody's been working out a lot, like they glisten.
They look like me, like I do now.
People go, they look, man.
This form, this shape.
A, you look like a leader.
Take it on water.
I look like what?
You look like a leader.
Okay.
B, I call that a Trisha. That's what the popular lexicon would say, is when somebody has been sweating a lot.
Feel free to come in the Annie Fry YouTube channel and Rate on a scale of 0 to 10 Ryan is doing.
I love coming in here on Thursdays. Now, this has been great these past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great for
last
everybody.
Week there were hand motions.
When you come back after maternity leave, you get to spend as many weeks commenting on his appearance.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I'll have some time to prep that.
Yeah.
That segment.
Yeah, when you come in, like, just do tell her that I'll be in here for the next segment by just going like this.
Coming.
Ryan's been eating a ton of candy.
It's not news.
But I'm getting older. My metabolism can't handle it anymore, but I'm telling it, I'm in charge, metabolism. You're going to like this airhead.
Most people do, right? Before I was going to say before they get diabetes, but
that Chappelle sailed.
This is where Ryan explains that he only kind of has diabetes.
I only kind of have diabetes because my A1C is actually still within the range of non-medicated.
Ish.
Yeah.
You have mid-diabetes.
I have like what would be considered diabetes in America, but some other countries would call it pre-diabetes.
Is that why you went to Japan?
So that's why
I don't think Japan would be the right direction to go.
No, I don't either. But that's why I've been eating bags of those peanut butter candies from Halloween because they're cheap. And I can still eat them for another couple
you.
Years.
All right. Trisha?
Okay. All right.
Smoking.
Woman stuck waist deep in quicksand.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Wait. Time out. One of the scariest scenes in any movie that I ever grew up with was the... What's the swamp called?
Oh, the fire swamp.
Fire swamp. Yes. With the R-O-U-S-S's. When they're in the quicksand and they go down like that. Terrified me. And as soon as I hear quicksand, that's what I think of.
I do too. I still have nightmares. That's why I grabbed this story. A woman in Maine had quite the scare when she was pulled waist deep into quicksand while walking on the beach. She'd been collecting trash, so her hands were occupied when she went down.
Drop the trash.
She just like
no,
sunk.
I can't let go of my precious trash.
Put the trash in the quicksand and nobody will know.
And then stand on it. Climb up the
Look
trash.
Look at the good deed that I did, people. I made it disappear.
Thankfully, her husband saw and pulled her right out. But I was wondering if you were okay with quicksand because of the Princess Bride.
No. No. I had such an irrational expectation of how prevalent quicksand was. Where was this? You said on a beach. Does it say?
Yeah, New England. She's from Maine. It was a new... All
so
that
it's
said
an
was
American
new
story.
It's an American story.
On a beach?
Mm-hmm. Just whoop, right down.
Those New England beaches.
Uh-huh.
Man, that's a
They're
surprise.
A
Seems like you would have heard that at some point in your life. Like, hey, you got to watch out for the beach up near Boston.
But apparently, and I don't have all of the details in this report.
Now you
with
are.
Me.
That's what's happening. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
But they did issue some warnings to beachgoers after this incident.
They when put I, up a sign that said,
yeah,
look like, out.
Yeah, don't sink.
Fire swamp.
Quicksand is real.
There's a.
Leave the
I
trash.
Was about 7 years old, and I was playing in the creek behind my parents' house. Great opportunity as a kid to play in a creek at my parents' house. Did so regularly. And depending on how high the water in the creek would be, and I mean, sometimes big storms come in, gully washer. Mm. Other times it was a steady flow of water, but if you walked through it in most places, maybe up to your ankles. Playing down in it, I stepped out of the water. Maybe I jumped over the water onto the mud that was on the other side, went down mid-shin. And I was stuck down there and I had to throw my whole body up onto the bank and like army crawl out of it. Vroom, vroom, there mm-hmm. my shoes stayed in the. They're still down there, probably, unless I guess maybe over the course of time they could have washed out. But I was so scared to come up and talk to my parents about it because I'd lost my shoes. I was covered in this like clay like mud.
Ugh.
And they laughed at me, which was bittersweet.
Somewhere in southern Illinois at a creek bed, there's a pair of 1991 Keds.
Yeah.
If anybody wants them.
That's probably exactly what they were.
The archaeologists would be thrilled to find those one day.
Woman unexpectedly gives birth at a golden corral. An Arkansas woman.
Hey, when it's time, it's time.
Mm-hmm. This woman didn't know she was pregnant.
That was not time.
An Arkansas woman who was enjoying a meal with her family began to feel strange. The unexpected stomach
pains. At Golden Corral. All I'm thinking now is Spaceballs.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
Princess Bride and Spaceballs, people. These are good recommendations.
Also, Atreyu lost his horse in sand in quicksand.
That
I just want to point that out.
That was a very
Artax.
Tragic movie.
Artax, yes.
I need to go back and watch and see if it was... Why was it all scary to me?
The whole movie is
because
just
it's traumatic.
It's just a weird, scary movie, but it is good.
I'm not even sure I know what the plotline is. Anyway.
Is that Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I blocked it out. I watched it one time when I was a kid, and it was traumatic, and I can't.
Yeah.
I won't.
What was traumatic?
I gotta write it down. This is a great one to watch with my kids.
What was traumatic for me is at the end, I was like, this is a lie. The title of the movie is a lie.
It ended.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're like, oh, this is such a traumatic movie. And I'm like, one for the children.
We tried watching it with my kids not too long ago.
It's such a slow and boring.
When that wolf comes out, and my son was like, I'm done. I'm out. Okay. I'm done.
I'll traumatize my kids and report back.
So this lady in Arkansas had a baby at a Golden Corral. She didn't know she was pregnant. She gave birth at the Golden Corral to a healthy 6-pound baby boy. Good for her. To pay tribute to the restaurant, she named the baby Tamar Colon Corral
Buffet.
Woodfork.
Wait, she put Tamar Colon Golden Corral?
Kalen, sorry.
Okay.
Corral. Yeah, colon's worse. Corral Woodfork.
I thought she put a colon in the kid's name. That's what I was like, really?
She did not.
Okay.
Annie, are you okay with buffets?
No. Is it hard? No.
I guess. I'm fine with them.
I know.
I believe that.
Yeah. And I've been to a Golden Corral within the last 4 months, I think.
This is what you need to do. You need to sit down and watch a buffet for 45 minutes before you eat at it.
Oh, no. I go to buffets
blindfolded. See what comes out fresh.
Yeah. No.
See,
it's more about, like, the patrons.
Nope. Look. She's pointing at me. If you go into a Golden Corral, you're going to see me.
That's because you're just face deep in the chocolate fountain.
Yes. And pregnant.
Unknowingly.
Unknowingly.
Don't you know men can get pregnant now?
I do know that.
It's birthing people.
Pandemic. Wear a mask.
If I go into Golden Corral wearing a mask and they ask me why,
I'm like,
that's what I'm going to tell them.
They said use protection. Yeah. You say the mask is the condom for buffets.
Yeah. Ah, sir, you're not going to get pregnant while you're here. I know.
Just make sure. I can't even say that. I'll go, okay.
And I pull a little coupon out from behind my mask. There you go. $13.99 today.
U.S. Department of Energy says you should set your thermostat to 78 degrees all summer.
Of course they would. Vote Trump.
They say this is the ideal temperature for summertime.
The ideal temperature for whom?
As every degree above 72 could save up to 3% on the cost of cooling your home.
How about you
That's
stop
also a problem they cause.
Crashing everything that has to do with American energy, and then I will cool. Newsflash. I will cool my house to whatever I want to cool my house to.
They also suggest raising the temperature by as much as 10 degrees when you leave. So they think you should jack it up to 88 degrees.
I think if you ask the people who run HVAC companies, like maybe Corey Malone and Air Comfort Service, they will explain to you how the dramatic ups and downs that you put your HVAC system through are actually hard on your HVAC system. And it makes it work double time in order to get the house cooled again once it's all heated up. I'd have to ask him. I put words in his mouth, but we've had that conversation before.
So are you okay with setting your thermostat to 78 degrees?
73 always. Maybe 75 if we're going to be gone during the day, but 73 and then 67 when we sleep.
67 when you sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Dang, good for you.
Cool. I like it.
Oh, cool. I want it cold.
Cool.
That's
babies sleep better.
Happy babies.
And sleeping babies, happy mommies.
Love it. Love it. I want it cold.
I've been sleeping in her basement for a couple months and she didn't even know.
Video of moviegoers resting bare feet on seats in front of them divides the internet. A video posted to Twitter earlier this week shows a few people in a movie theater resting their bare feet on the empty seats in front of them. The person who posted the video had some choice words in the caption for how grossed out they were. However, some people noted that the seats were empty and that the feet resters weren't bothering anybody. Annie, feet on empty movie seats, yay or nay?
Just no bare feet in public.
Mm-hmm.
You could be outside and running around.
What if the feet weren't bare and there's nobody sitting in front of you?
Like, you're wearing shoes?
Shoes, and you've got your feet up on the seat in front of you at a movie.
No, still inappropriate. It's furniture that people sit in, and your feet are walking on the ground, and you're moving dirt and stuff up to where people are going to sit their head or rest their head or hair if you've got long hair. Put your feet on the freaking ground.
I'm going to agree
Ryan?
With Annie here.
Oh.
I'm trying to find a way to not, but I can't come up with one. Don't put your feet where other people's head and clothes are, because you're just going to get all nasty, whether it be the fungus from your bare feet or it be the dirt from your non-bare feet. Yeah.
Maybe you need to take care of the fungus in your feet, Ryan.
Maybe people do. That's kind of what I'm agreeing with you about.
People.
Mm-hmm. maybe people need to use more of that tough actin to nectin.
They're not going to pay you for that.
But, Brad, you could go ahead and clip it and send it anyway if you wanted to.
It's not my job.
Trisha, maybe you could.
You want one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not know how to edit audio?
Nope.
That explains it.
Idaho man breaks his own fist bumping record. Guy named David Rush broke his own fist bumping record again by fist bumping a fellow YouTuber 397 times in 30 seconds.
We're screwed.
This must be his thing. He's broken How his many? Own record multiple times. 177 concurrent held Guinness World Records for this. So he's just fist bumping the heck out of everybody.
Is this a euphemism?
Nope.
So,
you sure?
Yep.
It's in a certain amount of time?
30 seconds. 397 times YouTube.
Okay.
In 30 seconds?
No, but did you see George Santos has an OnlyFans?
I did see that.
Well, I'm glad you guys all learned that here on this show.
How do you do that? When you said 397
OnlyFans,
times.
We're not going to tell you.
Whatever it was.
www.
I was like, well, that's not that many, but you said in 30 seconds.
30 seconds, 397 times.
It's just like a speed bag.
Yeah. Are you okay with fist bumping?
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
You're a fan of fist bumping?
Yeah.
A guy like this makes me not want to fist bump ever again.
Maybe. A fist bump athletically is kind of
kind of cool.
I'm not really concerned about that. It's more just an appropriate, easy mm-hmm. acknowledgement.
What happens when you go for the fist bump and somebody else goes for the five? Because that's what I get caught up in, and it's super awkward.
It's just like the question Somebody's about like when holding. You go to hug someone mm-hmm. and you both go to the right.
Yeah.
Because if you both go to your right.
Yeah, then you're about to kiss.
Then you Chris Christie Scaramucci. Mm-hmm. scare a smoochie.
Or you're at a softball awkward. Game with the guys. You go to high five, and accidentally you just slap somebody on the rear end, like over and over. That
the 397 times in 30 yeah. seconds.
And if nobody videoed it, you're like, why did I even do this?
Yeah.
You're really into that OnlyFans thing?
No. I've never been to the website. I've just heard that it exists because of George Santos. That was the first time I'd ever heard of it. Today.
I know you subscribe.
I don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan.
That's exactly
of
what
OnlyFans.
I would expect you to say.
Are there things on there that have nothing to do with negative, gross things? Because if there are, I don't know about it. What is George Santos going to do on OnlyFans?
I don't know. Could be on the up and up.
I hope so. He's doing cameos. Kind of like that website. I know about that one.
How long will you keep talking?
Music pushing me, so I can probably stop.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Trisha.
Thank you.
You look beautiful.
Thank you, Annie.
Ryan?
You look beautiful, too. I mean, you already were.
You're talking to Trisha. For
yeah.
the record.
Yes.
Not me.
No.
Absolutely not.
For himself. You look beautiful, too.
We'll be right back.
So, as the mom of two teens, as the product of public school myself, I'm more about the solutions to the problems. And I think it's great that private donors care so much about children in Louisiana. But if they did, Louisiana is 49th in education. We have 50 states. They are one from being the bottom in education. One. Two, one of the highest teen pregnancy rates. Three, school lunch programs. Are we feeding the children? So as a former Christian, One of the things that I would like to see, the Jesus that I know in the Bible, and I'm not a spokesperson, but I think he would care more if we really cared about the children. And I looked at the Ten Commandments again this morning, and I have already violated one of them, coveting these ladies' shoes. So, you know,
Not exactly the same covet, but I appreciate it.
You don't have a wife.
Can I just take one 10-second point?
So that's my problem with it. As a parent, is I would like to see them focus more on the children.
So there's Leslie Marshall. She's on Outnumbered today. And the news is out of Louisiana. Fox News reports Louisiana is the first state to require the display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom after Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed a bill into law Wednesday. Under the legislation, HB 71, a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font is required in all public classrooms from kindergartens to state-funded universities. Over the weekend, Landry touted the bill at a fundraiser in Tennessee. Going to sign a bill that places the Ten Commandments in public classrooms, and I can't wait to be sued. Now, the the angle they're taking is that this is a historical text that, you know, it's displayed at the Supreme Court. Our secular legal system is formed with the understanding that the Ten Commandments exist in and of itself. So it definitely has a historical placement. First and foremost, and I think we're going to have a longer conversation about this tomorrow. It is shocking to me the arguments that are being made against the Ten Commandments being displayed in classrooms because of the indoctrination that will take place should the Ten Commandments be visible in a classroom. And the other baloney sausage that these teachers are displaying in their classroom while saying they are not indoctrinating students on anything.
I love it. I absolutely love this case for that very reason. When we're at cultural loggerheads like we are right now, these things do have to happen because you have to decide which way you're going to go. Now, my hope is that if this is destined for the Supreme Court, which it just seems like it is, I don't know if it will be, that this would be a case where you get a little bit more definition on the separation between church and state, because that's what the lawsuits are going to be about. And I would love to see where this goes, especially with the historical angle that Louisiana is taking here.
It says Fox News says the groups said the new law will send a quote chilling message to students and families who don't follow the state's preferred version of the Ten Commandments. Also, can I add, she's talking about feeding the hungry, unwed pregnancies or young pregnancies. Like the list of things that she talks about at the beginning of this are addressed in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's one possibility of solutions. Here's a list. And then you can have your other free love stuff literally hanging next to it in a classroom. And I'm certain that if it's required, that it will be. I don't know what, like, I know that Florida has put in a lot of laws that say you're not going to push some stuff in a Florida classroom, but there's a lot of holes in the argument.
And with the clip, too, of her speaking, too, when she says Louisiana is 49th in education. Well, what is your argument then? Leave it alone?
Are you going to ban the Ten Commandments? You know, it's all about having them. Children should be exposed to whatever they want to read. They should have more information, not less. Are you going to ban that from the classroom? What if they want to read it? What if they want to be able to expose themselves to something that is new? I mean, these are their arguments. They're not mine.
Yeah, it is funny because we can probably look through our clip folder of the last 4 or 5 years and find clips that if you didn't know they were applying to, you know, pride flags or whatever, and you applied them to this, those same people would probably completely reverse those arguments.
Yeah, they're the same arguments. And I also just think that when it comes to the separation in church and state, the left gets off the hook because they worship government. That's their religion. Mm-hmm. And they shove it down our kids' throats all the time, and they get away with it. So put those Ten Commandments up in the classroom. It's an option. You're not like making them sign a contract. But what if they saw don't steal? Would that be the worst thing ever? What if they add, like, more than $950?
Only if it goes to California.
Yeah, there's going to be a California version. A few modifications that they have made on the Ten Commandments. These 10 commandments. Oh, my gosh, the poll. I forgot about it. The poll with almost 200 votes, 52% wish that RFK Jr. was
close
at the debates. It's very close.
Wow.
It was close the whole time. Thanks for voting. Stick around. Mark Reardon's next. Jamie Lisso in studio tomorrow.
So as the mom of two teens, as the product of public school myself, I'm more about the solutions to the problems. And I think it's great that private donors care so much about children in Louisiana. But if they did, Louisiana is 49th in education. We have 50 states. They are one from being the bottom in education. One. Two, one of the highest teen pregnancy rates. Three, school lunch programs. Are we feeding the children? So as a former Christian, one of the things that I would like to see, the Jesus that I know in the Bible, and I'm not a spokesperson, but I think he would care more if we really cared about the children. And I looked at the Ten Commandments again this morning, and I have already violated one of them, coveting these ladies' shoes. So, you know,
Not exactly the same covet, but I appreciate it.
You don't have a wife.
Can I just make one 10-second point?
So that's my problem with it as a parent, is I would like to see them focus more on the children.
So there's Leslie Marshall. She's on Outnumbered today. And the news is out of Louisiana. Fox News reports Louisiana is the first state to require the display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom after Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed a bill into law Wednesday. Under the legislation, HB 71, a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font is required in all public classrooms from kindergartens to state-funded universities. Over the weekend, Landry touted the bill at a fundraiser in Tennessee. Going to sign a bill that places the Ten Commandments in public classrooms, and I can't wait to be sued. Now, the the angle they're taking is that this is a historical text that, you know, it's displayed at the Supreme Court. Our secular legal system is formed with the understanding that the Ten Commandments exist in and of itself. So it definitely has a historical placement. First and foremost, and I think we're going to have a longer conversation about this tomorrow. It is shocking to me the arguments that are being made against the Ten Commandments being displayed in classrooms because of the indoctrination that will take place should the Ten Commandments be visible in a classroom and the other bologna sausage that these teachers are displaying in their classroom while saying they are not indoctrinating students on anything.
I love it. I absolutely love this case for that very reason. When we're at cultural loggerheads like we are right now, these things do have to happen because you have to decide which way you're going to go. Now, my hope is that if this is destined for the Supreme Court, which it just seems like it is, I don't know if it will be, that this would be a case where you get a little bit more definition on the separation between church and state, because that's what the lawsuits are going to be about. And I would love to see where this goes, especially with the historical angle that Louisiana is taking here.
It says Fox News says the groups said the new law will send a, quote, chilling message to students and families who don't follow the state's preferred version of the Ten Commandments. Also, can I add, she's talking about feeding the hungry, unwed pregnancies or young pregnancies. Like, the list of things that she talks about at the beginning of this are addressed in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's one possibility of solutions. Here's a list, and then you can have your other free love stuff literally hanging next to it in a classroom. And I'm certain that if it's required, that it will be. I don't know what, like, I know that Florida has put in a lot of laws that say you're not going to push some stuff in a Florida classroom, but there's a lot of holes in the argument.
And with the clip too of her speaking too, when she says Louisiana is 49th in education. Well, what is your argument then? Leave it alone?
Are you going to ban the Ten Commandments? You know, it's all about having them. Children should be exposed to whatever they want to read. They should have more information, not less. Are you going to ban that from the classroom? What if they want to read it? What if they want to be able to expose themselves to something that is new? I mean, these are their arguments. They're not mine.
Yeah, it's funny because we can probably look through our clip folder of the last 4 or 5 years and find clips that if you didn't know they were applying to, you know, pride flags or whatever, and you applied them to this, those same people would probably completely reverse those arguments.
Yeah, they're the same arguments. And I also just think that when it comes to the separation in church and state, the left gets off the hook because they worship government. That's their religion. Mm-hmm. And they shove it down our kids' throats all the time, and they get away with it. So put those Ten Commandments up in the classroom. It's an option. You're not like making them sign a contract. But what if they saw Don't Steal? Would that be the worst thing ever? What if they add, like, more than $950?
Only if it goes to California.
Yeah, there's going to be a California version. A few modifications that they have made on the Ten Commandments. These 10 commandments. Oh, my gosh, the poll. I forgot about it. The poll with almost 200 votes, 52% wish that RFK Jr. was
close
at the debates. It's very close. Wow. It was close the whole time. Thanks for voting. Stick around. Mark Reardon's next. Jamie Lissow in studio tomorrow.